This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
For over 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, and we try to bring you a lot of really good information all about you and your health. Now, the show is streamed through myvillagegreen.com. That's myvillagegreen.com. And this is a reminder that Village Green is your resource for questions about your health via their website and the store on Cedar Lane. You can ask questions, get information in both places. They do carry a superior line of supplements from many manufacturers, including their own Pathway products. Now, right now, you can take advantage of their Best Brand sale. Save 30% on Pathway products and 25% on Zymogen, Thorn, Metagenics, Nordic Naturals, Innate, and Designs for Health. So it's a good sale. It's now through February 28th. Just a reminder, we're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Please join us next week for Kevin's discussion on nutrition. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guest, who is Valerie Estes, who is the Director of Research for Project ALS, which utilizes a multidisciplinary combination of researchers working together toward producing treatments and a cure. And both the style of research and the actual work they're doing are going to be discussion points. Now, as always, we start the show with news you can use. And I've got a lot of questions about this. There's a new study that finally says what I've been saying for 40, 45 years. Saturated fat and cholesterol do not cause heart disease. And a lot of people have had a hard time with this, and it's always surprised me that it hasn't been more clear in the medical community that there's an association, but that association is not necessarily causative. And it's a pretty fascinating study. It's a meta-analysis that was published this week in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. It pulled together data from 21 unique studies that included almost 350,000 people, about 11,000 of whom developed cardiovascular disease. They were tracked for an average of 14 years and concluded there's no relationship between the intake of saturated fat, the incidence of heart disease or stroke. And there are many other studies that have been available, but we have so restated the fact that cholesterol is damaging. And those of you who have tuned in regularly have heard me talk about this, that cholesterol's not the enemy. Cholesterol is made by the liver, and it's necessary for 65% of the dry weight of the brain, your nerve cells. It makes vitamin D. It makes your steroids, hormones. And so when you're under stress and you make steroid hormones, cholesterol goes up. It also goes up in inflammation. And that inflammation on the vessel is what the cholesterol attempts to heal and becomes part of the mess. It's a Band-Aid. Cholesterol cannot adhere to healthy vessels. And I'm going to repeat that. Cholesterol can't adhere to healthy vessels. It's where the vessels are injured. The cholesterol, the Band-Aid, comes out and then becomes part of the mess that we call plaque. And this is understood, but it takes a long time to change something that's been wrong. If you're interested, there's an old book called The Cholesterol Myth And there are a lot of new books out that about heart disease and cholesterol, and that we haven't been told the whole story. The interesting thing is that the data shows from 1945 to 2000, as eggs per week decreased, cardiovascular disease increased. So as we got rid of eggs and then also butter and lard, cardiovascular disease increased exponentially. But what went up was trans fatty acids. They are mutant plastic fatty acids that have no place in the human diet. They are harmful. There is no naturally occurring fat as damaging as these manufactured fats. So you've heard us talk about that. And I did hear a blurb on TV. They were mentioning it, and there was a doctor saying, oh, yes, you know, cholesterol is not the enemy anymore. And I give this analogy. High cholesterol in the blood is associated with heart disease. Smoke alarms are associated with fires. They don't cause them. We don't tell people to unplug their smoke alarms because they're causing fires. Now, that sounds silly, but that's been the misunderstanding, and I've yet to understand why the scientists, the biochemists, had not been outspoken about this a long time ago. I've been speaking about this for more than 40 years, almost 50 years, and it's appalling to me that something that's true is just finally now taking hold. Now, that being said, genetics makes a difference. There are some people who genetically don't tolerate a high-fat diet and others who do. Eskimos have a 75% fat diet. So there is no one diet for everyone. But what we try to do is, say, eat healthy foods. Now, yesterday when they broke this news, one of the doctors said, yes, but saturated fats are bad because they raise triglycerides. Well, I responded to the TV that actually made no response to me, but I explained that's absolutely false. Triglycerides go up because of sugars. Sugar, caffeine, and alcohol raise triglycerides because insulin that is overproduced when we get too much sugar turns some of that triglyceride, or some of the glucose, excuse me, into triglycerides, which is carried by the LDL cholesterol and stores around the middle, belly fat. So humans have consumed saturated fats since human time on Earth. Some cultures had a higher plant-based diet. Some cultures had a higher animal-based diet. So that's news you can use. Now let's get on to our exciting guest. Valerie Estes is the director for research for Project ALS, and I said that it utilizes a multidisciplinary combination of researchers working together toward producing treatments and cure. And Project ALS was founded in 1998 as a nonprofit when Jennifer Estes, a 35-year-old New York theater and film producer, was diagnosed with ALS. So, Valerie, I'm going to welcome you to the show and let you carry on from here.
Oh, thanks, Dana. Thanks for having me today. As you mentioned, yeah, Project ALS started in the late 90s when my sister Jennifer was diagnosed with ALS. And just to give people an idea of what ALS looks like at the start of ALS, she looked completely normal, and she was a high-functioning, hardworking, young American woman, you know, going to work every day, trying to make the donuts. So ALS presented in actually a pretty minor-seeming way with some general fatigue, and some muscle twitching. But I don't know, Dana, if you can even relate to this. I'm sure you can relate to this. I mean, I can. That when we become exhausted, sometimes our eyes twitch, or, you know, we are fatigued. But these were the first symptoms of ALS for my sister. But the long and short of it is that ALS was diagnosed. And as close sisters in a family, Jennifer, my sister Meredith, and I went around to some doctors who were recommended. They also thought it was stress initially, but once tests were run and diagnosis came in, ALS was it. And we were told that a diagnosis of ALS is dire, and that no one survives, and that the typical lifespan post-diagnosis is 2 to 5 years. So my sister was advised to max out her credit cards and go to McDonald's and see Paris for the first and last time. That didn't seem right, of course. So as a family, we decided to go to the next step, which was to look around to see which researchers were making a group effort to understand ALS and develop the first effective medicines for it. And we couldn't really find anything. So we decided to start Project ALS, which for us represented a whole new movement toward recruiting the world's smartest people to try to figure out this brain disease. And so as you mentioned, we incorporated in 1998 as a nonprofit. To date, we've raised over $70 million. We've been able to direct nearly 90% of each dollar to research programs. And the great news is that we're starting to really understand the underpinnings of ALS and the related diseases, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and Huntington's. See, they're all parts of a family, sort of brain diseases that are beginning to affect more and more of us.
Yes, and from my end, as a nutritionist in medical nutrition therapy, we look at the underpinnings of environmental modification of gene expression and how the environment impacts on us, and it's measured against our innate ability to get rid of toxins. And we're exposed to 84,000 man-made chemicals, only 200 of which have been tested. They don't have
to. You know, I've got to go along with you, and I think that that is a focus right now in the field. That I think, you know, if you take away all of those environmental factors, there are still people whose genetic predisposition is to one of these neurodegenerative diseases, including ALS. However, when you do add environmental factors, such as you mentioned, the picture gets even more complicated. But I think one of the great things that Project ALS has pioneered over the last decade is an effort to really map out the genome of the disease. So at least let's see what various forms of the disease look like from the genetics perspective, and we can go from there.
You know, that's fascinating. I saw your 5 and 3, an aggressive strategy to identify ALS therapies, and it is so elegantly stated. I can't tell you how efficient it looks. Before we go into more of the ALS, just talk about this new paradigm of research, and I think what we'll do is we'll start that subject in the next segment, because this is an important subject of how you accomplished your funding and what your requirements are of those who engage in the research. I think that's exciting. So if you've just tuned in with us, folks, you're on the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, and I'm your host. Please stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with more interesting information from Valerie Estes, Director for Research for Project ALS.
Solgar No. 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar No. 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar No. 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar No. 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar No. 7 says yes. Solgar No. 7, available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Whole Food Multivitamins. They are the only USDA certified organic, non-GMO verified whole food multivitamins available. They're gluten-free, certified vegan, and feature a patent-pending clean tablet technology. Kind Organics is super clean, untreated, unadulterated, and real whole food. Kind Organics multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads, it can all take a serious toll on your health. But we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle. A wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team includes pharmacists, nutritionists, clinical herbalists, and naturopaths offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the second segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda. Now, we've been having a very interesting discussion, just beginning it, with Valerie Estes, who's the Director of Research for Project ALS. And before we start talking more about how this their unique approach to research and their aggressive strategies to identify ALS therapies, let's get basic and let's talk about ALS. Valerie, could you carry on that discussion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, just to let listeners know I'm not an MD, but I think I'm able to describe ALS in a very basic way so that people can understand. ALS is known as a neurodegenerative disease, which means it's brain-focused. In ALS, there's a particular kind of brain cell that gets sick and dies, and that brain cell is called a motor neuron. And as motor neurons die in ALS, people lose their ability to move in every way. So they lose the ability to walk, to talk, to swallow, to breathe. And ultimately, the inability to breathe can be fatal. And that's what it looks like. It's almost hard to comprehend because in the last segment, I started to describe my sister Jennifer's early symptoms, and they were fairly, you know, common symptoms of many ills, but ALS ends up being fairly specific. So as these motor neurons die up and down the spinal cord and in the brain, so go our abilities to move and speak. It's a devastating disease, but the other way I wanted to frame it today is that I wanted to say that it's very closely related to diseases that will touch all of us if they haven't already, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and Huntington's. So experts are saying now, Dana, that in 20 years, one in four of us will have been diagnosed with one of these neurodegenerative diseases. One of the reasons for this is that our population is aging, which on the one hand is an amazing thing. We can all realize expanded, you know, lives and can see our children and our grandchildren, we hope, get older and go forth. However, the problem here is that we haven't figured out the brain. You know, we've figured out so many other organs and aspects of health, but the brain remains the last frontier. So as we get older, we are susceptible to a lot of these neurodegenerative diseases or diseases of aging, and we just don't as yet have answers for them. And that's why, you know, as a segue, that's why it's important that the research that's being done on neurodegenerative diseases like ALS, like Alzheimer's, is done in an effective, aggressive, and rational way. And I think that's in part where Project ALS comes in.
Three important criteria, and I'm just going to emphasize for those who are listening, who may not understand how someone with ALS can stay mentally sharp. Stephen Hawking, of course, comes to mind because it's the motor neuron damage that's occurring.
Correct. That's a really good point. So people with ALS lose motor function. However, their minds remain totally sharp. So some people with ALS have described the experience as being in prison. The prison is your body. And your thoughts are the same, but you are limited, progressively limited in the way you can express those thoughts. That's a very important point.
Well, I think you're making some important points. So talk about the actual way you went about getting funding and the uniqueness of the criteria you have for your researchers.
Well, it all starts, Dana, with a very personal story. As I mentioned, Meredith and my sister Jennifer was diagnosed with ALS seemingly out of nowhere at age 35. With ALS, doctors told her to max out her credit cards and, you know, basically prepare to die. And that just didn't seem right to us as young Americans, as a family in this day and age. So we started Project ALS with the idea that if we could raise some money, maybe we could entice some of the world's best thinkers, established researchers, clinicians, people who see patients, to all come together around the table and start sort of, as they call it, spitballing or sharing ideas. And then the best of those ideas, perhaps we could provide seed funding for. And it turned out to be a really, it sounds like an obvious next step, you know, when there's a complicated problem on the table and nobody's really making a dent in it. The obvious next step to us was to get the smartest people we could find to work on the problem together, to get into the sandbox together. And scientific research, sadly, had not been working so much that way because research dollars are few and far between. So what ends up happening is that talented scientists compete for these dollars rather than collaborate. And so we made the condition of our funding, yeah, you can continue to compete for dollars, and competition's very healthy, but you're also going to collaborate so that we can all make progress together. And it ended up being a pretty fresh idea for the field, and, you know, we've taken it now on into the next century, and I think that ALS research has really moved forward in very definable ways, and it's exciting times now.
It really is, and I'm particularly interested in this paradigm shift in research, whereas researchers, to reiterate a little bit, were working in ivory towers, keeping what they learned to themselves, because that was the secret to getting more research dollars, which
right.
seemed
no,
to...
No, that's a really good point.
Yeah, it preempted that desire to... You know, let's talk to anybody who's doing anything. Let's put this all together. So I'm thrilled with the way you've done it. And your research dollars are important. Give us the website for people who have an interest in learning more about what you're doing.
Sure. So that would be projectals.org. No punctuation there. Projectals.org.
Very simple. Well, I'll let you talk more if you want to talk more about the symptoms and what is average for people to be diagnosed, and then how long symptoms last. Is there a lot of difference among people with ALS? Maybe you could address some of that.
Sure. I mean, I'd like to make it as listener-friendly as possible. I want people to pay attention to ALS and neurodegenerative diseases because eventually it will touch each of us in a personal way. If not ALS, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Huntington's. Again, the diseases
yes.
of aging, and as our population ages, it's just really important to reiterate this context for the discussion. And I think that one of the other great benefits of our paradigm shift is that we've been able to recruit scientists from all areas, not necessarily those who are only geneticists or only molecular biologists or only chemists. what we've been able to do is introduce people across disciplines, and that's been, it's just been so productive. So, for example, and this is actually a very simple thought. In ALS, as I mentioned, progressively a person loses the ability to move in every voluntary way. However, in most patients, eye movements are spared. Well, this is kind of an interesting phenomenon. Like, why are people still able to move their eyes, even in late-stage ALS? So Project ALS has gathered an unbelievable team of collaborators from leading research institutions, including Harvard University, Children's Hospital in Boston, the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York, Columbia University, New York University, to figure out why the eyes don't have it, why eye movements are not affected in ALS. And given our abilities now to profile genes, we're now able to look at the differences between the motor neurons that get the eyes to move versus, say, the motor neurons that get the limbs to move. And what's come of this is just a fascinating look at the genetic differences among this kind of brain cell, among subtypes of motor neurons. So the hope with this project is that we will figure out the genes that confer protective powers on eye motor neurons, and we'll be able to confer that same kind of protection on other more vulnerable populations of motor neurons in ALS. It sounds space age, but through stem cell modeling now and our ability to screen for drugs, and we can do that more rapidly now than ever, and with geneticists really trying to pick through and figure out what makes different parts of our bodies different genetically, you put it all together around the table. I keep using that metaphor, but it's true. And data is shared, and ideas are shared, and experiments are very carefully laid out. And so as of Monday, we had a meeting in New York, and it seems that we're really homing in on specific genes that make eye motor neurons different from others. And it's just very gratifying to see that just sort of this very simple philosophy, the more smart and dedicated people you have working on a problem, the faster that problem gets solved. And I think I'm very proud of Project ALS for sticking to this approach. But it's a basic approach. You know, you don't have to be a brainiac to figure out this is the way we get it done.
Yes. And I do want you to talk about these five and three, the aggressive strategy. Could you just introduce the concept, and then we'll fill in the blanks in the next segment?
Well, yeah, sure. So, I mean, just generally, I also want to say Project ALS was started by average people. We're all in this together as far as we're concerned, but our research decisions are led by our research advisory board, which is comprised of 11 leading thought makers in this area of neurology, neuroscience, pharmaceuticals, and just health. So I just wanted to make that clear. But so along with our research advisory board, Project ALS has selected five projects to focus on within 3 years. We're actually in year three of a couple of these projects right now, and we feel that by focusing on these five, that we will advance the entire field toward a greater understanding of disease and, in parallel, some drugs that we might try that might slow or even stop ALS.
Well, that five and three is what we're going to talk about in the next segment. So for those who have tuned in with us, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the hour. And please stay with us. We'll be back after this break with more interesting information from Valerie Estes, Director of Research for Project ALS.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet. Committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body, and this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Did you know at Village Green we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more? That's right. In addition to our other big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle today and every day. At Village Green, we've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living products for over 45 years. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the third segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro. We're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., so join us next week for Kevin's discussion on nutrition. Today, our guest is Valerie Estes, and we've been discussing Project ALS, and she's the director of research for Project ALS, which utilizes a multidisciplinary combination of researchers working together toward producing treatments and a cure. And we were beginning the discussion of their strategies, 5 and 3, an aggressive strategy to identify ALS therapies. So, Valerie, please fill us in.
Oh, thanks, Dana. So I really think that Project ALS has a two-part strategy in terms of research. One is figuring out why ALS happens. And the other, which happens in parallel, is how can we develop therapies to at least slow it until we completely understand it as we learn more about it. Is there a way to intervene to hit certain targets and slow it down? So overall, it's a two-part strategy. And I guess I can just talk about a couple of things that we feel are very promising in terms of understanding not only ALS, but Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Huntington's, these diseases of aging, if you will. Although I might add, these diseases can strike adults of any age. So I would add that as a caveat. So the one thing that the entire field has been very excited about in the last year or so is our ability to model brain diseases outside of the body. If you just kind of think about it, if you're having a problem with your brain, it's not very simple for your doctor to kind of go in there and monkey around and try to figure out what's going wrong with it. So through the years and through a lot of rigorous, very responsible research, scientists have now figured out a way, and get this, this is like out of Star Trek, but scientists have figured out a way to take a small skin sample from someone with ALS and convert that skin into brain cells that feature that patient's own DNA. And then scientists are able to study the approximation of ALS from that patient in a little tiny dish. So we've actually come to call this affectionately or whatever, ALS in a dish, for our ability now to really model a given patient's ALS outside of the body. And what these models have allowed scientists to begin to do is to profile the genetics of an individual's ALS, but also to start to screen, say, FDA-approved drugs for other indications for their potential efficacy in ALS. So these ALS in a dish models have become just a very exciting tool that has been adopted across the world in any lab that's interested in solving ALS. And I'm proud to say that Project ALS pioneered this approach starting back in 2006 when we got collaborators together to try to figure out how stem cells could allow a greater understanding of human disease. And so now you can just take a punch of skin, actually from anyone. You don't have to have disease, but and then scientists can derive a sort of mini brain model based on your DNA right in a dish. And it's very instructive and has been very helpful in our search for drugs.
I love that this is done. Isn't our technology fascinating?
It's fascinating if used properly.
Yes.
Yes.
Good caveat there.
Yes.
So what are you excited about beyond these findings you've discussed? What other exciting findings have you found?
I might mention just two things that are very kind of newsworthy. I noticed you mentioned the news headline at the top of the hour, but the latest is that scientists at Harvard have been using ALS in a dish to identify drugs that could potentially get to ALS patient trial sooner rather than later. In the past, patient trials for ALS have been more of a shot in the dark, if you will. We haven't had various models of the human disease at our disposal. So it's been more educated guesswork in the past. But now, thanks to our new ability to model ALS and also our increased knowledge of the genetics of the disease, we're able to put better drugs into trial. So that's exciting. And something else I'd just like to mention, because this is like hot off the press, And you mentioned cholesterol at the top of the show, but it turns out that not only ALS, but other neurodegenerative diseases, primarily Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, in the kind of pre-published studies that we're looking at, suggest that lipids in the brain may be a biomarker for these neurodegenerative diseases. We're not sure of the role of lipids in brain disease, but a group here at Columbia University has found that there may be clearly identifiable lipid signatures in these brain diseases. So, in other words, you could give a drop of blood to a doctor, but this is, of course, far in the future, if this is right. I mean, I'm sharing this sort of pre-publication, but that our lipid, you know, the way our lipid signatures play out may suggest whether or not we have or will develop one of these diseases. And that's just a very interesting study that we've undertaken recently.
That's exciting.
Nobody,
is very exciting.
Yeah, people have looked at fat in other parts of the body, but not in the brain, which turns out to be a pretty fatty organ.
Yes, it is. And that's why I said the cholesterol is 65% of the dry weight of the brain. And it's important. It's for our health. And it's a marker for what's going on in inflammation, cardiovascular disease. It can be a marker.
Yes.
So this is interesting, and it makes sense to look at the brain.
Yes. Yes, and no one has before, so we're excited to delve into this pilot study. with researchers at Columbia University.
You know, if I wanted to interject, and it's just off the top of my head, having followed the history of hydrogenated oils, which dates back to the 30s or 40s, following that information, one of the things that alerted me as to the dangers is that hydrogenated oils get into the cell membrane and take the place of omega-3 fatty acids, and that includes the brain. And when I learned that, that was it for me.
That's interesting.
And we know that for a fact. And certainly we can't blame everything that's gone on in our culture on trans fatty acids, hydrogenated oils. But that, the pushing of that by all of our major government and professional organizations had no biochemical physiologic basis. And so here you're talking about the lipid, maybe lipid dysfunctions in the brain. At least you're looking
right
to
we're
find.
Right, we're talking about a metabolism that maybe goes awry.
Yes,
a lipid
yes
metabolism.
Yes, very interesting. What else? You have such interesting information to share.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I'm very proud of the modeling of human ALS, and I just think it's going to allow scientists all over the world to make strides toward figuring out how we might slow or stop the disease. And it's all been done in a rational, responsible, though aggressive, fashion. We try not to overpromise or make false claims, but I can say without reservation these are promising times in ALS research. And I also might add that I don't know, Dana, if you participated in the Ice Bucket Challenge this summer, but millions of Americans did, and Project ALS was able to put 100% of those donations into the projects I just described. And that's just been a huge boost. And it just goes to show you when people get together on something, we can really make a difference.
Wasn't that exciting?
It was so exciting.
It was a brilliant, brilliant strategy. Social media.
I don't think it was anyone's strategy, Dana. It's just, it caught fire. It was one of these viral social media phenomenon, you know. and people just started doing it and donating their hard-earned money. It was absolutely incredible.
Yes, it was. I think we're learning every day how much of an impact we can have on others, you know, in crowdsourcing. And in essence, it sounds a little like you crowdsource with the researchers.
That's funny, because when you were just saying crowdsourcing, that's exactly what I pictured. And it's true, but I think that everybody listening to your show can be part of the team, the family that will ultimately beat this and the related diseases, because unless we have the awareness and support of everyone, from the most brilliant researcher to people who are just concerned because maybe a loved one is showing some symptoms of one of these diseases, unless we're all involved on some level, it's not going to get solved. It's a huge, it's a public health issue. It's a global health issue, and it's one that we can only solve together.
You know, that's well said, and I'm just reminding that projectals.org is the website for people who have more of an interest and also want to donate. What I do, for instance, I donate to Environmental Working Group because they're such advocates for so many issues regarding food, chemicals, products. I'm very excited about it. And so they're on my bill pay. And it's not very much, but it's every month.
Yeah,
and
it's great.
It's like putting the old coins in the jar, and then suddenly you've got $100.
Well, that's it, Dana. That's it. I mean, that's how you can make a difference. We're all in this together.
We really are. And we're going to take a brief break and come back for the final segment. If you've just tuned in, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living. I'm Dana Lake, the host, your host for the hour, and we're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. We're having an interesting conversation with Valerie Estes, who is Director of Research for Project ALS, and we will carry on that conversation. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Solgar No. 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar No. 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar No. 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar No. 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar No. 7 says yes. Solgar No. 7, available at Village Green Apothecary.
If you have arthritis, everyday tasks can become a challenge. That's why more and more doctors are recommending Arthrobin, an all-natural medical food for the dietary management of osteoarthritis. It contains a combination of bioflavonoids, which work to reduce inflammation and joint deterioration, along with collagen peptides, which increase joint mobility, function, and repair. Arthrobin is not a drug and is virtually free of negative side effects. Look for Arthrobin by Designs for Health today, available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Multivitamins. That's right, certified organic, made with the highest quality standards, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, non-GMO certified, vegan, and gluten-free. Kind Organics Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. Probilarty from Metagenics offers a new targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. Probilarty provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function, in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. Probilarty is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Orne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, listeners, to today's final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. And we're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro. We're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., so please join us next week for Kevin's discussion on nutrition. And a reminder that now is the time to take advantage of Village Green's Best Brand Sale. Save 30% on Pathway products and save 25% on Zymogen, Thorne, Metagenics, Nordic Naturals, Innate, and Designs for Health. Now, our guest today has been Valerie Estes, Director of Research for Project ALS, which utilizes a multidisciplinary combination of researchers working together. I love that, working together, so I'm going to repeat it, toward producing treatments and a cure. We've been talking about some of the interesting findings and where they're going. So let's continue that conversation, Valerie.
Yeah, I'm honored to do so. Again, I think the big breakthrough of the last couple of years is the ability of scientists now to, you hear this term personalized medicine, or there's another term for it that I'm just blanking out on.
Individualized.
Yes, of course. So the fact is that now for ALS, by simply taking a small sample of skin from someone with ALS, scientists can start to understand that person's ALS in a small dish that exists outside of the body. It's really our first look at human brain disease outside of the body, which makes drug screening easier, which makes our ability to look at cell-to-cell interactions in the brain so much easier. And I think it's really going to be the gateway to the first effective treatments and ultimately a cure, not only for ALS, but related brain diseases. And you know, we were talking about the early days of Project ALS, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, the involvement of people out there, we talked about the ice bucket challenge and how everyone, you know, jumped in and poured ice over their heads for important research. But there have also been, for Project ALS, friends who are well-known, who have the ability to reach millions of people, people like Katie Couric, Ben Stiller, Juliana Margulies, who knew my sister, Jennifer, back in the day, and who believe so in the power of collaborative research that they have become sort of spokespeople, that's not right, diplomats really, for ALS research and Project ALS. So, you know, just a shout out to celebrities, to artists, to actors, to producers who I think often get a bad rap, you know, by just clinging on to the latest cause. We've enjoyed partnerships with artists and journalists who just believe in what it is we're doing at Project ALS and believe in the importance of collaborative research to really change the face of medicine. So I'm just very grateful for that involvement.
Well, it is. It's powerful because money is needed, and researchers go where the money is because that's what they do. They research. They're not all multi-billionaires that can do it independently. And so we do depend on a good source of financing and for these worthy causes. We talked about the personalized, individualized studying of an individual's own ALS and what's mm-hmm. based on the skin cell source, ALS in a dish. That's brilliant. Determining ALS resistant cells and how they're unique, genome identification, inflammation. Is there something that you want to discuss that we haven't discussed about ALS that's important for our listeners to know?
Well, I would just say that, you know, another, I just want to talk about drug companies who also get a very tough rap out there, and I understand, believe me, I could rail on for hours, but one interesting shift that has occurred as a result of the paradigm shift you described is that there are drug companies who are now more interested in neurodegenerative diseases, and specifically ALS, because the research has now made available these interesting models of human disease. And there are drug companies out there who want to work together with leading researchers to develop drugs now, you know, legitimate drugs, some of the drugs that they've already had in development for other diseases and disorders, who want to now work on with the academic side. You know, there's a meeting in the middle now that people should know about, and I'm very happy about that.
I am interested in this target on inflammation as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So many of our chronic conditions, inflammation is surrounds it, and it's a fire out of control, is how I like to describe it, because the inflammatory process is actually an important process. Bring us up to date on what ALS and inflammation, the connections there.
Well, you know, we're not sure of the exact connections, but some of the targets we've identified in the brain indicate that inflammation may be a player in ALS, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Huntington's. And just to jump skip ahead, the good takeaway from that is that there are so many drugs out there for various kinds of cancer, for diabetes, for obesity, that have already been engineered to hit these targets. So if we can get them into the brain, we may have a chance of, you know, intervening at what seems to be a very important point, and that's when inflammation occurs.
And
it's early days, but it's as you say, it needs to be researched to the hilt.
Well, and also the brain is hard to access. I think most people know that the blood-brain barrier that protects it also makes it difficult to get certain medications in and affect changes.
You're so right, because there are some compounds that on paper look so exciting, but they're too big to cross, as you said, the brain-blood barrier. So a large part of efforts of Project ALS is working with chemists, people who know how to make different sized molecules of helpful compounds or related compounds that might get into the brain. But it's a huge, huge hurdle in the treatment of brain disease. In order to treat brain disease, we feel a lot of these medications are going to have to get in there, and that's going to take a lot of technology and strategizing and smart people working together, but we're on our way.
Yes, what impresses me is that when I looked at the five in three years aggressive strategies to identify ALS therapies, I was impressed at the progress made in 1 year. I find it remarkable when, you know, the history of research is 10 to 12 years to get a drug identified and on the market.
Right. But I guess to what I was saying about inflammation, and you know this, there are so many, I don't want to say remedies, but therapeutic approaches to reducing inflammation, that the strategy in this case would be how can we kind of commandeer the therapies that have been developed for other inflammatory situations and get them to address ALS. So
yes.
It's very promising to know that there's already in existence so many things to address inflammation.
Well, as you know, I have an interest in work with people who have autism, particularly the children, and inflammation of the brain is a key factor there. And research in that arena has put on the map what I call, or we call in the autism treatment industry, if I can say it that way, the biomedical approach, which is therapies, medicine, nutrition, diet. In other words, we combine all of those specific to the individual. So it is exciting times, and I want to thank you for being on the show with us. Do you have one final statement before we say goodbye? I love all the information you've given us.
Well, I think there are many reasons to be positive, as we've discussed, but I do want to leave you with one thought, and that is everyone listening today should be aware of the fact that experts say that in by 2025, I guess that's 10 years. Gosh, my math is awful. But that 1 in 4 American adults will have been diagnosed with ALS, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, or Huntington's. These are known as the diseases of aging, and as the U.S. population ages and grows older, these diseases are going to be more prevalent, and they're huge problems. They represent a global health crisis, and we all need to start paying attention. And progress is being made. So how about that?
Well, that is good. And I could you run down the five strategies? I'm the selective vulnerability.
Sure.
I like the way you outline it.
Sure. Well, again, the selective vulnerability is one of our projects, and that is trying to figure out why some motor neurons in ALS stay healthy while others die. And ultimately, what you want to do is figure out how to make the ones that are more vulnerable stronger. So that's the ultimate goal there.
Well, you know what I realize? We are out of time, and I get so interested in what you're saying, and I want to thank you for being on the show with us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Dana. Thanks for having me.
Okay. And for listeners, I want to thank you for joining us on the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. You can access the show or any of the previous shows through myvillagegreen.com. As our lives move forward, I am always reminded that every day is a new day, every minute a new minute, giving us many opportunities to make positive health-enhancing choices. Please remember, it's not the number of breaths you take. It's the moments that take your breath away. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a breathtaking day.
Did you know at Village Green we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more? That's right. In addition to our other big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle today and every day. At Village Green, we've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living products for over 45 years. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
The Honor Flight Network is a nonprofit organization created solely to honor America's veterans for their service and sacrifice. The charity transports our nation's heroes free of charge from their local airport to Washington, D.C. to visit their war memorials and Arlington National Cemetery. This year, Compass Rose Charities is supporting the Honor Flight Network as their 2015 charity of choice. Help them reach their goal of chartering an entire plane. Sponsor a veteran's flight by donating today. For more information, Google Compass Rose Charities.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFMHD2 Manassas, WTLPFMHD2 Braddock Heights Frederick, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.